So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can play it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a clueless bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I made the rules, so move on out here and die like a fool.
We interrupt this program real quick to bring you a very important message. The government is shut down for a week, a full week, folks, and the sky hasn't fallen. The sky hasn't fallen. We're still on the air, thanks to AT&T U-verse. We got them in here today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thought I'd try something new for you. Welcome to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all the latest stuff we hear. Check on our sponsors. And don't forget to join that RSS feed in our email list, folks. Very important. You can get us streaming right into your mailbox. That's right. For those of you in the listening queue, you can call us at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 for listeners who haven't called in yet. I'm sorry. For you guys in the listening queue, don't forget that number one dial pad, and we'll get you on air. I mentioned AT&T U-verse one time at the top of the show. And I'm already getting comments. You look better on AT&T U-verse. You think? I love radio, man. I've got a face for radio, and I admit it freely. I'm a handsome guy in radio. And speaking of other handsome guys in radio, how are you, Mr. Martin?
Hey, I am a damn handsome-looking fella.
On radio.
Well, and in person.
Here we go. You can see it.
I'm a ruggedly handsome 50-year-old rugby player, you know.
So what does it depend on then? You being at the, close to the Kentucky School for the Blind, or, downtown after 2 o'clock in the morning? I mean,
given my receding hairline and stuff, it has to do whether I'm having a bad day, hair day, or a good hair day.
Well, there we go. From what I understand, folks, BTR may be still cutting out just a little bit. This is a BTR issue. This is not an MVM radio issue. This is not an issue with cable anymore. So if you're having problems with it, I am in contact with BTR trying to figure out why this continues happening. And I guess we're still going to have to work on it. In the meantime, Ed, something's going on. Great bit of news, man. Great bit of news. Our mayor, Greg Fisher, is bragging now because he was named as a Kentucky League of Cities City Official of the Year for all the great things that he's done for Louisville. Man, I just can't believe it. Can you?
I used to have a college roommate who we'd have a few beers and we'd start insulting each other. He's a preacher, by the way, now.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
When things started getting a little crazy, he would just look at you. You'd fire an insult off, and he would say, "I'll just consider the source of that, and it'll like water off a dust pack."
Well, I certainly hope that everybody knew I'd be
pissed. All I got to say about that is consider the source. I mean, but when you look at the levels of corruption in a lot of the cities, the smaller cities, and some of the bigger cities and stuff in the state. Our limited population. I mean, come on.
KLC is all locked up.
Not.
Here.
I mean, 1/4 of the state's population lives in this city. So, I guess they didn't want to embarrass the state and go out and pick a good mayor of a city with 1,400 people, you know, maybe there's a guy out there really doing a hell of a job, but, you know, let's face it.
You got
Frankfort, Lexington, Owensboro, Bowling Green. You know, you've got maybe a half a dozen cities that you really got to pick from. So consider the source.
Well, this is nothing more than a Democratic front trying to prop up Greg Fisher for an election. Greg Fisher is a joke. He's always been a joke. The guy can't put together a coherent sentence with any kind of quality whatsoever. And, you know, as you pointed out, the Kentucky League of Cities has been bombarded with so many things. I mean, Crit Llewellyn trashed them badly before she left office. I mean, even Jerry Abramson at one time said the KLC board, you know, needed more oversight. And his exact quote was, "We should have asked tougher questions over the years, but you put your trust in people to lead an organization, and unfortunately that trust was misplaced." The fact that Jerry Abramson is involved with the KLC after everything the KLC has been through and people that are screwed over, and you know, it's nothing more than the Democratic front. So I found it laughable. I hope people found sarcasm, because I tell you, it's more than a joke. And I tell you another joke, Ed. Somebody is having some problems.
You know, they always do, too. It's like, you know what? Hey, that certificate that you got from the Kentucky League of Cities, well, that and a $1.05 will get you a cup of coffee at Thornton's. So.
Well, our good friend Paul over at Invisible Taxes is in the chat room, and he points out the obvious, too, that Fisher will next be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize because he deserves it at least as much as Obama. You got a point there. You know, but when we look at this as well, you know, I like the whole title, City Official of the Year, and the very first thing you said out of your mouth was, couldn't they find a different mayor? Now, see, I'm going to go completely opposite. City Official of the Year. It doesn't have to be a mayor. It doesn't have to be anybody elected. City Official... You know, it doesn't have to be elected. They could be appointed. It doesn't have to be mayor. It could be a metro council person. It could be a department head. It could be anything but mayor. So, you know, this is nothing more than trying to prop Fisher up because he's done absolutely nothing for Louisville and will not do anything for Louisville. And this is all to try to give him credit for the Bridges fiasco we're getting ready to burn on. And, you know, he's not alone because the other Democratic front organization here in Louisville is having some problems of their own. GLI, Greater Louisville, Inc. It's the Louisville Metro Chamber of Commerce, which is actually a lie. But, you know, they are now cutting back. They're cutting the chief financial officer and the top education official at GLI. President and CEO Craig Richard, you know, got rid of these people, so they were laid off. We couldn't afford it anymore. This story came out of Business First. So now they've got lost 10 people. Now, that's a small organization that GLI is, regardless of what you want to tell everybody. So 10 people is a lot of people. And it couldn't happen to nicer people. I mean, that's what happens when you try to use thuggery, bribery, blackmail, anything you can do, Democrats, to force businesses to do something. Eventually, you're going to run the till dry. And they just, if they can't afford this, it's because they can't raise more money because people are getting sick of giving to them. It's a great time for somebody to rise up and challenge them. For Louisville's business, and quite honestly, I know people that are. So this is going to be interesting going forward as well. The acting director for the Office of Education and Accountability has now been announced. Marcia Seiler, she's acting director until a replacement is found for Robert Sherman, who, of course, we all know, was covering up for sexual harassment charges, illegally entering a government building with Steve Beshear's blessing and Jerry Abramson's blessing, shredding documentation last weekend when he had no right to be there. You know, but we finally got somebody to replace him, a lady by the name of Marcia Seiler. Did you not see that they were going to come up with a female, Ed? Was this a real tough choice?
Well, I mean, you know what? Let's hope she's got an axe to grind because – you know, you and I have both heard that this is not an isolated incident. You know, once the booze starts flowing at the hotels in Frankfurt when everybody's in session, it's a frat party. So, you know what? I hope she comes in. I hope she comes in with a chip on her shoulder, at least for this. I mean, they really need to come in and have a chip on their shoulder for a whole lot more than that, to be honest with you.
Well, let's look at the reality, though. I mean, here she is coming in. She's going to take over as the chair of the LRC. And what makes this so laughable to me is she's already the director of the Office of Education Accountability. Anytime you use the name education with anybody in Kentucky and give them another job, that's always a red flag to me. I don't know Marcia Seiler. Quite frankly, I can find a lot of bad about her, which is actually good for somebody like me because I do look deep. But it's interesting because I think everybody knew we were going to name a woman. That way you could try to sit here and argue about the sexual harassment. Well, a woman doesn't sexually harass, and that's a lie. They do it every day. But, you know, the fact she's coming out of the Office of Education Accountability, that was just laughable to me. So, you know, maybe it's a personal joke. I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting. And, of course, Ed, you know, on the local front, we've got expanded gambling back on the radar. Yep, you've got attorney Ed Glasscock. You know, I call him Ed Blowcock. You know, your investor Jonathan Blue, the famous Blues, and Terry McBrayer. You know, these guys are going to start fighting for expanded gambling. They say that they're not going to put their proposal onto the horse industry and make the horse industry the primary and guarantee them anything. Of course, Glasscock is with Frost, Brown, and Todd. These guys, in my opinion, are nothing but the worst lying, do anything they can because they get paid by the city and Democrats to win at all costs. They don't care about the law. I found that out through some personal dealings, and, you know, that's my opinion. I'll stick to it. But, you know, even though they're saying this isn't going to have anything to do with horses, you know, let's be fair here. Glasscock, you know, is a horse owner. You know, so I've got major problems with this. Everybody knows I've personally stood. We've done articles on it after article on it because of what they're trying to do with expanded gambling to put charitable gaming out of business. But I thought that was an interesting thing as well. How about you?
Well, I say expanded gambling, I think you need to keep bringing it up. I think you need to do it right. You know, they need to, as we've said before, it doesn't need to be, we don't need to legislate a monopoly. That's what we don't need to do. But, you know what, my libertarian roots come out. It's like, hey, if you want to gamble, if I want to gamble, I don't need the state telling me I can't, you know, looking out for
right.
My own good. No, they don't want me sinning. They don't want me to, you know, want me to spend our food budget on a blackjack table. You know, I appreciate the sentiment, but we're big kids now, and if people want to gamble, let them gamble. But like I say, don't legislate a monopoly. Don't run it all through the lottery. Don't run it all through the horse racing commission. If you're going to have gambling, bid it out. You know what? Let whomever come in, and if there's
sure.
a few sites to add, bid it out and put that in the city coffers or the state coffers.
Let the market, let the market take care of itself. I agree with you.
That's
always been the biggest thing.
Damn right. Damn right.
And that's always been the biggest thing because, you know, well, I was going to say, you know, it was just, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago now. But for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, I've actually been working, trying to help these guys get this. And Patrick Neely, head of the KEEP organization, in my opinion, is the biggest liars out there. And he learned it well from Brereton Jones, who was the former head of the KEEP organization. You know, but when you look at these guys, it's always been about the horses, and they didn't really care. So what people really don't understand, and I guess we're going to have to revisit this, and I might even repost an article I did from a couple years ago. We actually wrote legislation that Senator Perry Clark sponsored on behalf of charitable gaming. You know, I wrote that legislation. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is people don't understand that in Kentucky, we already have legalized gambling that includes slots and all your table games and everything else. We call them Carlo nights. The only thing is, they'll only allow to be a limited duration. And as near as I can remember now, you're allowed to have a Monte Carlo night for up to 96 hours, which is 4 days, and you're allowed to do it 4 times a year. So all we had to do was change the language, which didn't require a vote. This was nothing more than a legislative language change that had to pass through our state Congress. And, you know, Patrick Neely lied and said he was on board and everything else. Churchill Downs will still get the percentage that they wanted, which I think was 16% of the total. But what it was going to do is going to allow charitable gaming to compete on an equal field. And, you know, of course, that wasn't acceptable. They lied to us and used us and then went on their own merry way, which is why they're having a problem now. And I'm not going to give up that with charitable gaming, on behalf of charitable gaming, I should say. And there's a couple of people in charitable gaming who have sold out over the last couple of years because they want to get a little piece of the pie in their own pocket. And I'm not going to allow that to happen either. They know who they have had this conversation. But, you know, it is good to bring the gambling issue back up each and every year until we get it passed. But I'm like you. It has to be fair. It has to be equitable across the board. Let the market do its work. I don't think there's much else to be said about it.
No. You know, and I think on top of everything else we talk about, you know, the recipients, the people who would profit from it, but the fact of the matter is competition makes for a better market for the consumers, too. If it's run by just a legislative monopoly, you know, they'll establish, you know, there'll be a limited number of casinos, and they'll all establish a really crappy payout, you know. They'll go right up and bump up against the requirement. If it's a little more fast and loose and there's more competition, you know, you're going to have people saying, oh, our slots pay better. You know, your odds go up. The offering goes up. You know, hey, we got free drinks. We'll comp you on a room. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The more people that come in, you know, whatever it is, a 55-45 payoff on the slots, you know, somebody else is going to advertise, hey, 55-45 my ass, we're going to pay out, you know, we're going to pay out 48%. That's what our slots pay. Better for the gambler. Better for the, you know, better for the guy who doesn't understand the theory of large numbers or something like that. It's a, you know, competition's good for the, it's good for the state. It's good for the people who are going to be doing the gambling.
Exactly, and I see no problem with that. We're going to take our first break of the night, folks. When we get back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. I got a couple of great stories for you libertarians and conservatives who are sick of the Democratic machine. This, to me, is great news. I'll let you know what it is after the break. You listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investor.
In the mind of these politicians. I love it. I don't know about you guys, you know, but I want to live in that playground. I want to live in a liberal playground, man, where everything is given to you. Yes, I do. Because that's life. That's what we're after. What a joke. I love that song. I'm so glad I found it after all these years. You know, Ed, I tell you, there's a lot of people that live in that playground in mind. And before we get to everybody and everybody's mind, we're going to talk about the veterans and all of that stuff. But there's some other stories out there. A story came out last week, thanks to the show, we really didn't get to. It looks like Penis Morgan, as our good friend Dale the Truth calls him, Piers Morgan is going to be leaving CNN. Apparently, CNN has decided to drop him. Nobody knows what he's going to do from there. But, you know, Piers has always been controversial. I mean, let's forget the stupidity of this Clinton trying to tell us how to run our American lives, being a Briton, a British gentleman himself. But, you know, let's look at what this guy is all about. I mean, this guy has been caught staging, lying about news stories. You know, pictures he put out showing British troops abusing Iraqis were later proven false. Al-Qaeda used them as a recruiting tool. You know, which endangered the British and the American troops. You know, the Daily Mirror, you know, the UK's Daily Mirror. You know, he was fired from there over this. You know, Piers Morgan has got no credibility, zero credibility or ethics whatsoever before CNN ever hired him. They took that chance anyway. So I see this as a good thing. How about you, Ed?
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of the show he was on with Simon Cowell or whoever or whatever. I mean, let him go back to that. It's just sometimes it's.
I think it was Britain's Got Talent.
People think, people hear the accent, and I guess they think you're smart. And the guy stepped in it over and over and over again. He was controversial. You can be controversial because you're right and smart and just come out and say what people, they look at it and go, oh, my God. Or you can be controversial because you keep putting your foot in your arrogant mouth, and that's what Piers Morgan does. So if CNN's letting him go, I guess after so many times that whole thing wears off. I mean, for a while there, I was sure with all the controversy he kept stirring up, he's probably one of the more watched, as if anybody watches CNN. I guess some people tuned in a little bit to see what this arrogant Brit was all about, but kind of loses his charm, so time to move on. He probably, knowing how he thinks, he probably wanted more money. And again, in CNN, they probably said, more money? Come on, man. Nobody's watching.
Oh, that's it. And, the more controversial he became, the less viewership he had. So that should have told you something. CNN would be smart to get somebody like me to take that time slot. If you don't want me and you want to go with a bigger name, go with Alex Jones. That would be great for about a month or two until CNN just couldn't handle the right so much. But Alex Jones would be great in that spot. I'm glad to see him go on. I can't stand liars. I can't stand people who pass him off as a journalist without a clue and continue to try to negotiate the news rather than report it. And we've got other things going on, too. Get away from Piers Morgan. Iowa State Senator Kent Sorensen. Do you remember him?
I don't remember him. What did he do?
All right. Well, Iowa State Senator Kent Sorensen was under investigation. A special investigator found it likely that he violated ethics rules. Imagine that. By taking money from political entities that were there with Michelle Bachmann. Ken Sorensen was the state senator that, Michelle Bachmann came under investigation for. Mark Weinhart, attorney Mark Weinhart, said that it was manifestly clear that Sorensen negotiated payments in 2011 that were giving him $7,500 a month for working as Bachmann's Iowa campaign chair, which is totally illegal. Totally illegal. He knew that. He took the money anyway. So now he says that he had already decided he wasn't going to run for reelection. This resignation was best for his family, and it was absolutely not an admission of wrongdoing. This is hilarious to me. Michelle Bachmann is going to be in some serious trouble over this as well. That investigation is ongoing. Here's one you're going to love. In the midst of a government shutdown, Ed, this story comes out. Apparently, there are a dozen new C-27J Spartans that are coming from Ohio defense plant there. They've been taken out of service, and they're already shipped to the Boneyard at Davis-Montham Air Force Base in Tucson. Five more are still being built. They'll be delivered by April 2014, and they're immediately going to the Boneyard. Why? Because the Air Force is taking these planes and shipping them straight to the Boneyard, but they're never going to use them. The C-27J aircraft became onto the scene in 2007. The Air Force has spent $567 million on these planes that they're never going to use. They already had 16 delivered by the end of September. They'll go into the Boneyard. Let's look here realistically, folks. We continue to talk about how this government is shutting down. The Republicans want to get accountability. They want to get a balanced budget. Everybody wants to blame Obamacare and blame each other. But here's a great example. Wouldn't you say, Ed, $567 million building new planes that are going to be thrown away as soon as they get them?
Yep. I mean, it happens all the time. It's just like the alternate engines for the Raptors and stuff like that. It's just, and we've said it before, the military-industrial complex is not only big and menacing and narcissistic, and sociopathic, they're also very smart. That they pretty much have jobs located in every congressional district in America.
Right.
So that's what you've got. I mean, somebody's, they're getting paid for them, and whether it's you got the executives are getting money. They're no doubt kicking it back. The corporations are getting money. They're kicking it back.
Right.
And then if it's made at GE or wherever it's made, it might be a union laborer, you know. So that either pacifies them if it's a Republican, or it comes in the form of a quid pro quo if you're a Democrat, you know. So it's even worse than waste. It's essentially it's vote buying. You know, they're bringing jobs into your district. They're gonna and they got these glorified flying aluminum cans is what they are, because obviously they're sending them out in the desert. Now, 15, 20 years from now, they'll probably scrap them out for aluminum. Yeah, once they sit and they go, well, they're outdated and they've been mothballed too long, and they'll be scrapped for aluminum just like a Budweiser can. So there you go. In the meantime, at least somebody right now is getting paid for them. Where, you know, from the business world and the private sector world, if somebody doesn't want them, you know, they buy out of the contract and says, hey, whatever, you keep the parts, you know, sell the scrap metal. We don't want them. You know, cut your losses. But the government just doesn't seem to be able to do that.
Well, that's very true. And it's really interesting because, you know, according to a newspaper article that I'm reading here, and you guys can go to military.com for all the information on that. You know, they even reported it. But, you know, essentially the Air Force says they had no choice but to buy these planes. You know, they issued a solicitation from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in May looking for new vendors to build more C-27Js. Now, pay attention to that. In May, 3 or 4 months later, they're shipping them all to the boneyard. They knew this isn't something you decide overnight and just throw away. They knew that, you know, these things were going to the boneyard, but they say that basically congressional language was forcing them to spend money budgeted for the planes, even though the Pentagon was protesting. Now, see, that's the thing. I pointed out on more than one occasion right here on air. That's what the military does. They get budgeted money, and they feel the need that they have to spend. They have to spend. They have to spend so that they don't get cut the following year. And that's what all of this is about. That's all it is about. They don't want to get cut. So, you know, when we look at this, you know, this is just another prime example of what's wrong with our military spending. These guys say, oh, well, I have to spend this money because they gave it to me. You know, they don't live like me and you do in the real world. You know, I tell you, we're going to take a bottom of the hour break real quick. We'll come back, and we're going to start getting this shutdown of government and let people know what's really, really going on. You're in for a treat, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Listen to the ES Spring Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash. After the 17th of October, I want this government shut down, or what they call a shutdown anyway, because every day we keep getting new and new stories about how screwed up the situation really is. And, you know, I have no problem with this. I mean, let's face facts. The IRS is still collecting taxes. They take in about $200 billion each and every month. and the interest on our debts, $20 billion each and every month, the Democrats are out there screaming, we have to increase the budget. We have to increase the budget. We got to borrow more money or we're going to default on debt on October the 17th. It's a joke. It's a joke. So 10% of all the money they take in goes to service the debt. Well, we got plenty of money to service the debt. So I'm having a good time watching these idiots continue to lie to the American people. The only thing I'm not having a good time with is the fact that some of these Democrats are actually buying it. How about you?
Excuse me. Well, I'm annoyed that anybody's buying it. I understand that at some point, if we keep, you know, if we maintain the cutback, a lot of people depend on a lot of this stuff. But the selective nature of what the cutbacks are, you can't take it seriously. You simply can't. You know, parks.
Well, here's,
open
well,
air
here's
parks,
reality.
Don't cost anything.
Well, here's yeah. reality too. Here's what nobody's paying attention to either, because nobody really wants to have this discussion, and that's why the Democrats are screaming so loud, because they do not want the American people to pay attention and do the math. The reality is, depending on who you talk to, 82% or 83% of government is functioning. So we know we've got at least 82% of government that's operational. That means that 18% of government offices were deemed non-essential and not necessary by default. But what's really amazing here is when you do the math, you realize just how much our elected officials pad the American taxpayer and steal from us. Because if 18% of the government is shut down, you would think that 18% of the people are non-essential. But the reality is they furloughed 800,000 federal employees out of about 2.2 million federal employees. That means that 38%, roughly 38% of federal employees were furloughed and it shut down 18% of government, none of which we need. You think we don't have some room here?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt we have some room. And, you know, and whether, you know, I'm not going to, without going in, you know, without having all the details in front of me, and I don't want to know how many, you know, what 18%, all these obscure programs. I'm sure some of them are worthwhile programs. I'm sure some of them yield a return on the investment. I'm sure some of these programs mean the world to the beneficiary of the program. But, you know, we do have to take a hard look at it. And it's got to, you got to also think, you know, what they're not cutting. It's like, I've got a few liberal friends who are, you know, saying, well, this, you know, it's this is government shutdown. They agree with you and I. They say this government shutdown is a joke. You know, with 80-some-odd% of the government still working, it's not a shutdown. You know, the pain's not real. The pain's very selective. The public, it's a public relations stunt. As an anti-war type of libertarian, I'm like, well, you know, if we start really cutting. You know, we want to cut. There's the military budget. How's about the next thing we cut is when we've got our military bases in Germany or Japan or Korea or you know any of the countries we're putting bases in, essentially protecting other countries so that they don't have to spend as much money on their military. Let's shift them.
Well, you know,
it's mind-boggling because
if we've got a lease payment due for a base, that's
Well, that's it. And, you know, of course, the House has already passed a bill to give all these people back pay. They're not going to lose a dime when they go back to work. You know, honestly, I'm surprised it lasted a week. Yeah, oh, exactly. You're getting a paid vacation. You get your month in 2 weeks after you get back. So, you know, they're going to pay it away. So, you know, you look at all of this. But the reality is this. This is what the American people, they obviously don't understand what the balance of power means and what it's supposed to be. Because there really truly is nothing complicated about the way our government spending works. The House of Representatives have to originate all spending. And they have to vote on it, and then they send it to the Senate. Where's the thing? The House of Representatives has right to either grant fund or hold funding. That's the facts. That's not anything that you can argue about. This is what the Constitution says. All spendings must originate in the House of Representatives. So every congressman has a right to decide whether they want to spend money on a particular government activity. So now everybody is saying the Republicans are the bad guys here because they're shutting down government because they do not want to fund Obamacare. The House of Representatives does not have to fund Obamacare. They decide what has to get funded. They send it to the Senate. The Senate is supposed to look at it, and then they're supposed to go to committee if they can't come to an agreement and hash out all the details and work out a compromise, and that's where it gets interesting. Over the last few days, the House has already passed, I believe it was 26 spending bills right now, that will fund the entire federal government, every agency, with the exception of Obamacare. And Harry Reid and Barack Obama have said they will veto anything that comes to them unless it includes Obamacare. So who's really shutting down the memorials? Who's really shutting down Yellowstone? Who's really shutting down the Grand Canyon? And by the way, the state of Arizona agreed to pay all the costs associated with keeping the Grand Canyon open, and Barack Obama said, no, we want it closed. So who's squeezing the American people here? That's what the problem is. So, you know, when we get into this big lie from the Democrats, you know, who keeps screaming, give us a clean bill, give us a clean bill. This is nothing different than the Democrats have done, you know, 15 of 17 times prior to this one, prior to the shutdown. They've done this 15 times. The majority of the time it's the Democrats who do this. So this isn't anything new. However, they cannot sit here and say the Republicans aren't going to fund the government, because they are. They're funding the government. They're just not funding Obamacare. Why don't people say it?
Well, Obamacare was passed, and technically it's part of the government. You know, the Republicans, as I've said before, and even as a Republican, sometimes this gets me a little trouble with them, but they controlled Washington. They controlled the Congress and the White House. They controlled it all, and for years and years they did nothing. So, you know, they let the health care costs and health insurance costs spiral out of control. So by default, when they, you know, like I said, you reach for anything when you're drowning. So they left the door open for the Democrats. So putting it in context, yeah, I do tend to agree with it. I think everybody's being a little petty. Now, the thing that gets me about it is one of those proposals basically said, okay, let's just postpone it for a year, you know. Wink, wink, you know,
right,
like you did for the unions and the big corporations. Let's just postpone it for a year.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the only thing left is the individual mandate,
you know,
right?
Harry Reid shut that down. So,
right,
you know, to me, the thing I look at, you know, is I like consistency. I like, you know, a lot of people are shocked that I actually like Bernie Sanders. You know, he's a socialist. But I got to give him a hat tipping. He's consistent. And the thing I look at is if Barack Obama and the administration can pick and choose how they want to implement Obamacare, you know, for political tactics, because they didn't want to cause too much trouble with the unions or the big corporations going in and you know, wholesales reducing their workforces or dumping all their employees off their private plans onto, you know, the Medicare plans, and everybody would be pissed off ahead of an election. But it's like,
well,
you go in and you're selective on, you know, giving exemptions, and you're selective on start dates and stuff like that, as it suits you, Barack Obama. But then when the Republicans are like, hey, well, how about we just do what, you know, the same thing you did for the unions and big corporations, why don't we just do that with the individual mandate? Let's just back this whole thing up a year. And, you know, and no, we shut the government down over it. So it's the inconsistency.
But we did. But we did, because as I've pointed out on this show repeatedly, Obamacare, in essence, doesn't exist anyway, because Congress passed a law that we call the Affordable Care Act. That Affordable Care Act did not exempt any of these people. Barack Obama took it upon himself, tried to abuse what he considers to be his authority, and exempt people from a law that Congress passed and he himself signed. You cannot do that. So at that point in time,
the Democrats want to sit there and they want to point out to us, it was passed, it was signed, it was vetted by the Supreme Court. It's a law. But then when Barack Obama sees it as politically savvy to, you know, advantageous to not enforce or give somebody a free pass on it for a year. Not a peep from the Democrats. Not a peep.
Yeah, let's pay off for a year so the unions feel like Democrats, right?
I'm of the mindset, it's like, look, you pass the law, you sign the law, I'm sorry, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you said we got to pass it to see what's in it. Well, you know what? Ed, tough shit. You passed it. Now,
right.
Implement it. Screw your exemptions. Well, screw everything. Implement it. Do it.
Well, there you
put this bluff of crap. Let's. And you know what? The Republicans shouldn't. If I were a Republican congressman, I'd say, you know what? Look, okay, fine. You don't want to give us a one-year stay on the individual mandate, then we don't, you know, and we're going to fight like cats and dogs to just go on and implement the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah, and they have not pulled it, and they have not pulled that nuclear option.
Whoever, UAW,
right.
Any big unions, any big corporations, like, guess what? No exemptions, bite me. It's the law. You know, no one's above the law.
And then, of course, what happens?
Let's just put our foot to the floor on that thing and see what happens when we run into a rock wall.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. Republicans will be beginning. We're going to go to the phone because we have our resident MVM radio show on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock. And let's go to the second chair, Mr. Ken Coleman. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. Am I on the air here?
Nope, you're in your mind, man. The playground's in your mind. We have no air. Go ahead, man. What's on your mind?
Now, the whole thing. The shutdown. It's completely and totally punitive, right? I mean, the parks being shut down. I've been studying a bunch about what's going on, and there is a law on the books that basically says that the government can't incur additional costs during the shutdown, right? And
right.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're shut down, you shouldn't be racking up extra costs. My problem is that, for instance, the World War II Memorial is actually more heavily staffed with people guarding the memorial to keep people out than it is normally. You have websites that have been shut down that it cost extra money to shut them down. And, in fact, the real websites are still running behind it. You just got to know how to get around the stupid shutdown messages.
Right.
The point is that all of this is being done to punish the American people. And I think that is exactly their intention, because if you look, Obamacare has never, since the point it was passed, has never enjoyed a popular majority. The majority of Americans have opposed Obamacare. And in fact, I believe it's been over 50% opposed since it passed in 2009. I know that it's never had more support than people who did not support it. And the reality is, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, the Democrats have backed themselves into a pretty nasty hole here. And the Republicans have backed themselves into a corner too, but the Democrats' corner that they've backed themselves into is a hell of a lot worse than the one the Republicans are in, because the Democrats are left defending all of this, and it's really starting to get out there now that a lot of this is just punitive and petty BS. They have to defend it on backing a law that isn't popular. And that's not a very good place to be.
But what's really interesting here is how vindictive, because as you pointed out, it costs more to shut the place down. Everybody's talking about, the government's spending $1 billion a day on this shutdown. Well, you shouldn't be spending $1 billion-plus a day on a shutdown. The reason you're spending $1 billion-plus a day is, like you said, you're bringing all these extra people. For these open-air parks and monuments and memorials that are out there, these things are not staffed 24 hours a day. People can go in and out of those anytime they want, 24 hours a day at their will. Now they're staffed 24 hours a day to come out. And here's something really disturbing, too, because now we've shut down Grand Canyon. They're shutting down the Smoky Mountain. I think they're already shut down. All these tourist places and all these towns and these cities that depend on this tourism business are being hurt for nothing. They're shutting down private parks, for goodness sake. Parks that are funded by private money are being shut down. The government thinks they have the right to do that. You know, but here's something interesting, too. I put a post on my Facebook, Louisville Politics, on my Facebook post, and you really need to look at this. It's not my original post. This comes from DML Daily on Facebook. But he's got a nice picture that was taken about 4 o'clock this afternoon of a stage being set up at the mall in D.C. Now, the mall in D.C., the monuments, the memorials, everything else are blocked to all these veterans and everybody else who wants to visit. The federal government has blocked these. But they're allowing this massive stage to go up because they are allowing a march tomorrow and a rally tomorrow. The Parks Department said, go ahead, you can build a stage over illegal immigrant policy. Now, why is it that these people are allowed to go in here and rally and do whatever they want to with Obama's permission and blessing, assumedly, all right? But we're not allowed to go in there. I mean, it's not like they don't know this stage is being built. It takes hours and sometimes a couple of days to build a stage of this magnitude. So there's no reason for these folks to be in the park if we can't get veterans there who fought and died and paid for it. That's just one example. And there are so many other ones. I mean, let's look at some of the spending bills. Treatments for children suffering from cancer. GOP houses,
well,
yes.
Real quick about that. Oddly enough, they're asserting their First Amendment rights because they had permits and everything for it. So you know what? I can almost see that, except that irony of ironies, the Gettysburg National Monument, the Ku Klux Klan was going to do one, and they had their permits too. So I think oddly enough, if they let this one go through, the Klan may have a really good lawsuit against the federal government here, you know, for this selective enforcement of the First Amendment rights. Now, the other thing about that story is I saw that on your page, Ed, and because sometimes these stories get out there, you look at the source, and you come to find out it's a dated picture or something like that. I just tell you right off, and I may yet find it, but I can't find anything that says that's bogus. You know, they definitely being reported by the right wing, but then as often as, you know, a target of our spite, the mainstream media is nowhere. I was doing, you know, once I found a number of stories on it, I was doing some cross searches and typing in things like MSNBC, you know.
Sure.
CNBC.
But isn't that the way it always is, though?
Come on, guys. Give me
something.
Isn't
that the way it always is, though?
I've got to have this as a, you know, like a little page 6 type of story. And although currently I haven't found anything that says it's a bogus story, I have found absolutely nothing on the major networks about this story.
You're not going to. I mean, how many more thousands? I mean, we've got thousands of examples. And, Ken, you can back this. We've got thousands of examples of mainstream media not reporting what's really going on because it doesn't fit the agenda that they want to have. This isn't anything new. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get this. But here's something else that you're not seeing a lot of on mainstream news. Las Vegas, Nevada. Harry Reid's hometown, baby. He really represents his people. All right? He decided he's going to go ahead as part of this federal government and Senate Democrats. The majority leader is shutting down the government, except you're putting people out of their homes. You've got an elderly couple, 77 and 80 years old. They live on a home that they own on Lake Mead. But because Lake Mead is technically federal land, they were escorted off of their property and out of their home that they've owned since the 70s. A park ranger forced them out. Now, they're not allowed to go back in until the shutdown is over. They're not allowed to go back in until the government reopens, so they're forced out of their home because Obama wanted them to. The Amber Alert system. I mean, let's talk about this. We spent millions of dollars and telling the whole world this system is great. We use the Amber Alert system to help us find missing people. We use this system to make sure that we can get this across the country right away. The Justice Department, Eric Holder, decided he was going to shut that down. He said it was shut down due to the government shutdown itself. So he took it online, right there. But yet Friday, the Obama administration and Eric Holder decided it was okay to bring the union representatives back to work. So they shut down the Amber system. National safety, guys. And, of course, you know, you get into the golf courses. You know, the military bases shut down the grocery stores, but the golf courses are still open. I mean, this is nuts. So we're shutting out vets, doing everything else, but Obama can do anything he wants to on federal land. He is no better than we are, folks. He is a citizen of this country. He just happened to be elected president. And this is what he does. This is how vile this is. I mean, what gives, Ken?
Well, I was going to say, and I just saw a story that Amber Alert is back now after everybody screamed bloody murder over why did you shut that down. That is a safety thing, and safety is supposed to be running. But, you know, you mentioned the guy who was escorted off of his own, out of his own house on Lake Mead. You know, Mount Vernon is shut down right now.
Right.
And Mount Vernon is actually run by a private entity, and the only claim that the federal government has whatsoever
is that part of the parking lot, basically the parking lot was partially paid for by the Park Service. That's it.
Right. Yep.
And so they've got the entire thing shut down because part of the parking lot basically belongs to the park. So in my opinion, why don't you shut down that part of the parking lot if you're really going to be that petty about it? I think that there's – I'm waiting to see the lawsuits that come out of this. I think the guy who's escorted off of his property, the lawful mm-hmm. suit, you know, it doesn't matter if the government's shut down or not. It's his home. These people that run Mount Vernon absolutely should be suing. You know, the citizens, the people that went to the World War II Memorial and were shut out arbitrarily
mm-hmm.
should file
mm-hmm.
a class action suit. I mean, there should be mm-hmm. lawsuits galore coming out
yeah.
of this thing.
And like I said, you know, the immigration thing, they're saying they're letting them do it because it's a permit. You know, they have a permit. Well, the Klan had a permit, too. So I'm, you know, not that I'm a fan of the Klan, but you know what?
Hey, it's First Amendment, man.
They've been known to sue, and just for spite, I think the Klan ought to enlist the ACLU to do it because, you know, the ACLU does that sometimes. I think the Klan ought to enlist the ACLU to say, okay, you know what? They honor other people's permits, but they shut us down.
Well, that's it. You
well,
can't have selective
that.
Enforcement. That's been the problem with Obamacare from the beginning. I mean, that's really what it boils down to is this is nothing more than Obama acting like a two-year-old, and I find it insulting because, you know, Obama has went on public record and stated, you have never seen in the history of the United States the debt ceiling or the threat of not raising the debt being used to extort a president or a governing party and trying to force issues that have nothing to do with the budget, nothing to do with the debt. He's a liar. He did the same garbage in 2006 to George Bush before he decided to run for president. The Democrats have done, as I've pointed out, 15 of 17 times prior to this one. This is the 18th shutdown that we've been in. This is constant. But what's really interesting to me is the terminology. They're trying to extort the president and a governing party like the Senate Democrats. Well, you know, they force issues that have nothing to do with the budget, nothing to do with debt. That again, is one of those lies that he reads off a teleprompter. Obamacare has everything to do with the budget and everything to do with the debt because it's going to increase both significantly. Why the Republicans are not out there, and this is driving me nuts about this Republican Party, why the Republicans are not out there spending money hand over fist telling the American people the truth that Obamacare is going to give the insurance industry, I said give the insurance industry, $1.7 trillion in new money. Who really cares about the rich? We all complain that the insurance industry is getting richer, they're out of control and everything else, and yet Obamacare is going to give them $1.7 trillion. Does that not have anything to do with the budget or national debt? Either one of you guys.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, it passed its law. It was signed. It was vetted by the Supreme Court. I think the Republicans, in hindsight, I think they've gone about this all wrong with their ridiculous 40 votes to defund it. I think what the Republicans should have done, and they should have, with a little more foresight and a little more imagination, back when they started handing out exemptions to this union and that union and this major corporation and that major, the Republicans should have bucked up and said, no, you passed it, you signed it. If you want to selectively enforce it, you got to run it through us. You got to run it through Congress. But until then, it's a law. Enforce the law. You know, and enforce it equally, and let the shit hit the fan. But they didn't do that. They lost that opportunity because if they did that, like I said, they said, "Hey, guess what? This is your switch on date. Deal with it."
I totally agree, Ken. Go ahead.
Well, and that isn't necessarily. Out of the question. I mean, that actually, if the Republicans want to do that now, they certainly could go ahead and pass a funding bill that makes funding contingent on 100% implementation. I'll tell you what, that would really throw them for a loop because that, boy, you know, there's a lot of problems with Obamacare, and I did some of this on my show last night. There's a lot of little problems with Obamacare at this point, and a lot of little problems add up to, you know, bigger problems. And the reality is it's not ready. The law's not ready. And that's why they've put off the employer mandate, because literally they can't figure out how to
the businesses would even file the paperwork. I mean, that's the main issue with the employer
mandate.
Yeah, I don't
buy that. The main issue was for 1 year so that they could still get the union backing and the business backing. They want the damn votes in the 2014 midterm election. That's the main issue.
Yep.
Anybody that thinks different is fooling themselves. And I'm sorry to tell you guys.
Yeah, the last thing in the world the Democrats want is to, as my grandfather would say, is to be have their asses completely tied to this saddle and then have the Republicans saying, okay, according to the calendar, it's showtime, boys. You know? And it's on, you know, and the Republicans can sit back and say, you know what, we tried to defund it a couple dozen times, and then we just figured, you know what, let's just, you know, we let them have their way. And that way the Republicans could look out and say, it is all on them. Got it?
Well, that's it. And our good friend Paul says, well, and as our good friend Paul points out in the chat room, we don't elect parties, we elect individuals. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, people may vote along party lines, you know, which I think is ridiculous to have that all sizes fits all, you know, slide on Kentucky ballots. But we are supposed to be elected individuals. So that's really disturbing to me. Folks, we are fast running out of time. Ken, thank you so much for the call. Mr. Martin, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Let me say, you know, one of the things that I often write is that politicians they lack vision and they lack imagination. And they have a lot of hubris, you know, in spite of the fact that they have no vision, probably lower than average intelligence and no imagination, they are convinced they're God's gift to, you know, government and history. I do. In hindsight, I look at it and think, and as Ken says, they still can. I think the Republicans should wind up and say, all right, fine. We are going to fully fund Obamacare, and to the black letter of the law, you can't have any exemptions. So all those organizations and unions and big corporations that right now are breathing a big sigh of relief, like, whew, we got a year. You know, that doesn't apply to us kind of crap. Yeah, guess what? Yeah, starting tomorrow, it does.
I'm totally agree with you. I really am.
I think if the Republicans said all or nothing, I think we wouldn't even – it would be over before it started. At that point, the unions would be saying, what in the hell just happened? And the major donors and corporations would be saying, what in the hell just happened? And at that point, they're going to look and say, Obama administration and Democrats are going to say, okay, fine, we'll just back the whole thing up a year, all of it. Sorry.
I'm totally in agreement with you. There you go. Because, you know, the reality is this, folks. We need a budget. We need things funded. But these scare tactics by the Democrats, I mean, you know, every Republican is now a terrorist, an anarchist, somebody who's out to destroy America. Insert any negative term you want to insert here, because that's what Obama and Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats keep preaching. But it's not the truth. It's not the facts of the matter. Here's some facts. The GOP, the House Republicans, agreed to a compromise to fund a government that would include treatments for children suffering from cancer. They were going to include the National Institutes of Health, which was giving children with cancer last chance experimental treatment. Obama said he would threaten to veto that funding. On top of that, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, said he was not concerned about a child with cancer because he had 1,100 federal employees sitting back in Las Vegas that were floating. He didn't care about a kid with cancer. He cared about his furloughed federal employees that weren't working right now, you know, like the other millions of Americans. So they've tried to do the World War II memorial. The D.C. Mall, folks, is a 24/7 open-air memorial. It's not staffed regularly anyway. But Obama says, I'm going to shut it down. So he goes out and pays staff to come in and do just that. Who's the child here? You know, the RNC, offer to cover any cost.
And for what it's worth, just in case somebody says, I had somebody in one online discussion say, well, you know, if it wasn't staffed or guarded, we'd have vandals. It's like, yeah, apparently you forgot that somebody threw green paint all over Abe Lincoln's feet, right? It's not staffed.
Yeah, because it's not staffed. Exactly. You know, the Republican National Committee even offered to cover any cost to keep the memorial open. The White House refused, like the National Institutes of Health. Republican House passed a compromise bill that was going to fund America's National Park. Obama said he would veto it. Harry refuses to bring it onto the Senate floor. You know, I mean, to tell you how vindictive these people are, and I put a link in the chat room, you can read a lot of this, but I tell you how vindictive these people are. Military chaplains who are furloughed are not allowed to give mass for free. Military chaplains, let me rephrase, let me say this again. Chaplains are not allowed to celebrate mass and give baptisms for free. They will be punished for doing it. Now, I don't know what you guys think, but, you know, even in the military, there's a thing called separation of church and state. These military chaplains still have religious fundamental things that they're allowed to do, regardless of the military. They can't do anything illegal. But how is a man of the cloth, if you will, celebrating a mass for the troops and doing a mass for the troops and doing baptisms for free any different than a guy that calls himself a reverend in downtown Louisville standing on a street corner yelling and screaming over a bullhorn to the three people that will listen to him? Military chaplains, these are men of God. You know, we've got to start looking at this. And another thing, you know, on another 2-year-old whiny-ass titty baby rant, Obama decided he was going to block out all sports and entertainment programming to overseas troops. He didn't keep anything else down. But the American Forces Network provides the American troops with sports and entertainment programming so they can watch the ball games while they're sitting on a daggone desert somewhere. All right? Have been shut down. They can do anything they want to. AFN can do anything they want to. They can still put out the news and stuff, but they're not going to be allowed to do anything that the troops like sports and entertainment. But it kept Camp Day open. I mean, this is what you're dealing with, folks. And this is what I am so pissed off Republicans for not doing, is pointing out the obvious, doing their job, the American people, letting them know what's really going on, and putting the responsibility where it lies. And until we get somebody who's got the cojones to stand up and say, this is wrong, you're screwed up, and put their money where their mouth is, like we do every night this program and every day here in Louisville, we're not going to find any changes. This is nothing more than a uniparty, in my opinion, still at work. If the Republicans wanted to hold the Democrats accountable, you've heard 3 or 4 different sources on this show tonight that they have, all they have to pull the button, they won't do it. Why is that? Because they're scared to death that the same situation might reverse itself in the next election, and that they are going to sit here and suffer the same fate. The Democrats are screwed up, and Republicans have no balls. It's as simple as that. Wake up, America, get involved. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Mr. Martin will be here as usual. You know, and thank you for a good friend, Mullen. All right, man, we'll see you then. Thanks, good friend Kim Mullen, for dropping by. We appreciate it. And with that, folks, we are out of here. Have a good night. Take care.